From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick.
And I'm Alex Cohen. Coming up, details about the recent violence in and around Tibet and what's behind it.
First, though, to the economy, where the news these days is either confusing or bad or both, and more today. The Index of Leading Economic Indicators, that's a gauge of future economic activity, has slipped for the fifth consecutive month.
What started as a crisis in the housing industry has spread throughout the economy, which raises the question for all of us fretting about it. How exactly did this happen?
And that was the question that David Leonhardt, the economics columnist for the New York Times, took on in yesterday's column. And he made more sense, writing there, of what has gone wrong than anything we've read in months. And so we called him. David Leonhardt, thank you for being with us on Day to Day.
Thank you.
So you begin by saying you've talked to a lot of people on Wall Street, even, who don't quite understand how things have gotten so bad and why people are suddenly so worried. And you say, really, you do have to go back to the housing crisis, which started, well, the roots are back in 1998 when everyone was beginning to buy again.
That's right. We had a real estate bust in this country in the early and mid-90s, and then in the mid to late 90s, the economy started to take off. Incomes were rising. The stock market was soaring. Cities were becoming much more pleasant places to live. And it wasn't until the late 90s that real estate started to catch up and people realized, wait a minute, homes are now a bargain, and they started buying.
So housing looks kind of cheap, and then the mortgage industry is beginning to change. They have more buyers out there, more people, they need loans, and so the industry does, well, what?
Well, so they not only do they have more people wanting loans, but there's also a real influx of money coming from all over the world looking for profits. Money from oil-producing countries like Russia and Saudi Arabia, money from China and India, which are booming, is circling the world looking for returns. And much of it ends up coming to the United States and ends up coming into the mortgage market. And as a result, the mortgage market becomes more competitive, which is in many ways a good thing. It lowered mortgage fees and it allowed people to get some mortgages that in the past they wouldn't have been able to get. But those good things fairly quickly led to excess.
The thing is, there was a great history there because nationwide, as you write, the entire American housing market had never declined. Nationwide, it had never actually turned sour. So this looked like a good, safe investment.
It did. And in some ways, actually, the more important thing than that statistic, which I used in the column, is the fact that people kept repeating it. There are a number of reasons why it's a little bit of a misleading statistic. Prices had declined when you control them for inflation, which is really the more accurate way to look at them. And they had certainly declined in different regions, like big cities in the early 90s. But people like Alan Greenspan and mortgage brokers and all sorts of people kept repeating this mantra, house prices have never declined. And so based on that idea that they had never declined, people got it into their heads that they never could decline. And so they bid up prices incredibly high, which then made it a certainty that they would have to decline.
All right. So you have that kind of side of the equation. But then there's this other side, the multiplier effect, which you write about. And I thought, oh, now I kind of get it. When you talk about these leveraged accounts, can you explain that part of it?
Absolutely. So if you want to make, say, a $100 million investment, there are a couple of ways to do it. One way is to put up $100 million, and if the investment rises by, say, 1%, $1 million, you've made a 1% return. Another way is to use leverage or debt. So let's say you have $1 million and you borrow 99 more million dollars, and then you make your $100 million bet. And then that $100 million bet rises in value to $101 million, the same 1% increase I just described a minute ago. But you've actually doubled your money then, because you only had $1 million invested. It's a great return. Home buyers do the exact same thing when they make a down payment rather than paying the full price of their home. It works wonderfully on the way up and miserably on the way down, because if the investment declines by $1 million, you're now totally wiped out.
Well, things go along. Everybody gets into it. They formulate more and more of these kinds of hedges and multipliers. You quote Robert Rubin, who's got to be one of the smartest money guys in the world, the brilliant Secretary of the Treasury for President Clinton. He's now an executive at Citibank. And you quote him saying last week, there's some kind of financial instrument he'd never even heard of until it turned out to be trouble for Citigroup.
Yes, that's right. He said that to Fortune magazine. And in a way, it's not a problem that he hadn't heard of it. It's a level of detail that senior executives shouldn't be involved in. The problem is that it blew up. And it blew up really for three reasons. One, the ubiquity of these products all over Wall Street and all over global finance. People decided that the American home was such a good bet that they wanted to get involved with it. Second was the leverage, which we just talked about. And third was they ended up getting sliced and diced in these products that allowed them to be sold to different investors around the world. And that seemed like a good thing, but it ended up becoming so complex that people didn't even understand what they owned. And so when things started to go bad, not only were they actually going bad, but it bred all kinds of fears that people didn't really know what was on their balance sheets. And as a result, it's led to some of the panics that caused Bear Stearns to collapse.
We're speaking to David Leonhardt, economics columnist for the New York Times. David, are people panicking now? Should they be panicking now? And a question that presented itself to us on Monday was, when something like the valuation of Bear Stearns' share price goes from $30 on Friday to $2 on Monday, who in the heck knows what's going on?
Well, it's a really hard question to answer because some of these fears are absolutely founded and some of them do appear to be unfounded. But until you know which is which, it's really hard to tell people, oh, just relax, everything will be fine, with any kind of confidence. On the flip side, for most people, if you can afford your mortgage, you are going to be okay. And I think it's important in this time of panic to try to relearn a lesson about homes, which is they are not primarily financial investments. They are primarily a place for people to live, and people should really be making decisions about when to move and when to buy and when to sell based on what they need for their family rather than trying to time the market. I think the reason this is spreading so much is that it raises concerns about the broader financial structure, that people feel that if this mess could happen in housing, where else could it have happened? I really don't think this comes to an end until we learn how bad the excesses really were, which is a way of saying I don't think this comes to an end until the housing bust ends, and we're a ways from that.
David Leonhardt, he's the economics correspondent for the New York Times. He writes the column Economic Scene. David, thank you so much.
Thank you.